We're starting a new series this week, this month of June. It's 5 weeks, called Encounter. And you know what an encounter is. I'm going to give a more detailed definition that I like in just a few moments. But I think of all the encounters that we have in our life, and some are significant encounters. I want to share about my friend Jessica. Actually, let me share about her parents, Brett and Mindy Rickey. They're pastors. They were pastors in Florida. And back when I was pastor in California 10, 11 years ago, we didn't have a worship pastor, and we were looking for one. And so, you know, what do pastors do when they're looking for worship pastors? They talk to other pastors. And so I was like, hey, I was at this conference. I was like, do you know anybody? Do you have anybody? And I talked to Brett, and Brett said, hey, I know this is going to sound crazy coming from me, and I know it's going to sound biased, but even if she wasn't my daughter, I would recommend her to you. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. She's a talent. She's great at leading in worship. She's only 22 years old. We were church about 800 there. So she was just graduated from Southern Nazarene University. And so we, long story short, we ended up hiring Jessica. This single young lady left family from Florida. Instead of going back to Florida, she went all the way across the United States to California. She joined, she led us in worship. She did an awesome job. But she came with a desire in her heart. Many of my girls, it's okay to be single, but that's not necessarily where they wanted to be or where she wanted to be. And she wanted to find the right person. She didn't find that person at Southern Nazarene University. And so we were praying along with her for this to happen. And she was a great worship leader. And somewhere in that time, about 10 months later, she went home to Florida for Thanksgiving. And on the trip back from Florida, she was flying, and I think she was in the Tampa airport. She was waiting for the plane and waited to be boarded when she looked and took notice of a young man. By the way, I do not recommend, I have two daughters, I do not recommend this for the way to date and find your future husband or future spouse, a chance meeting on an airplane, but it's a great story. She said, I was in my travel clothes, I was in sweats and a ball cap, and so I really wasn't looking to meet anybody, so I saw this guy and I went to the bathroom, and she did what ladies do. She freshened up, she took the hat off, and she put some makeup on or refreshed that, whatever you guys do. And she left, and it was time to board. And so immediately she'd taken time, she went to board. She didn't see the guy, so she went back to the back of the plane, and she just left a seat open just in case God wanted to move, I guess. And this young man, unbeknownst to her, had taken notice of her, but he was looking for a hat. And she was no longer wearing a hat. And so he got on this plane and he just kept walking back and he didn't see a hat. And he thought, oh, she must be getting on a different plane. When all of a sudden, about 3/4 of the way back, there was an empty seat next to Jessica. And Jessica left that seat open on purpose. And he said, is that seat taken? And she said, of course not. I don't know what she said actually, but she said, yeah, it's available. So he sat down. I'm going to fast forward the story. And this is what happened. 11 years later, this is Colton and Jessica Rickey. They're three beautiful children. They're actually pastors of our Nazarene Church in Westminster, Colorado, the Crossing Church. And it was a chance encounter, but I also believe a divine appointment in their case, that God led them to one another, led them to lead this family. This is the encounter definition I want us to kind of hone in on today. An encounter isn't just meeting. It's a moment that marks you, redirects you, wakes you up, and often does in seconds what a lifetime of effort can't do. I'm pretty sure that Jessica was on the prowl in college. I'm pretty sure that she was on the hunt, that she was looking for Mr. Wright, and Mr. Wright didn't show up. Mr. Wright wasn't there when she was not looking for it. In just a moment, in just a few seconds, life changed for her. In just a few seconds, life can change for us when we have an encounter with the God of the universe, who, much greater than a love story of between two human beings, it's a love story between God and his people, who is wanting to have an encounter with us, who's wanting to draw us close to him. And as we look through the scriptures today, and as I think about even where we are a couple thousand years later after the resurrection of Jesus, not much has changed. I think there's three kinds of people that we find in Scripture, and I think there's the same three kinds of people in this room and in this world today. This is a love story about people that are lost, that are far from God, that don't know God, and God is on a mission to have an encounter with people so that he can have a relationship with them. But there's three kinds of people that we find in the scripture, and there's three kinds of people that I think that we find here today. We have lost people. Everybody's lost. All has fallen short of the glory of God. All is far from God. All needs a savior and to be reconciled to God. But there's three kinds of people that are left. There's those that know they're lost. They know they're far from God. In fact, I don't know if you've ever had someone, when you invited someone to church and you said, hey, you should come to our church. And they were like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to, because you better be careful. Lightning may strike. They're basically saying, hey, I don't know God. I'm far from God. I don't know him. And we just kind of laugh and chuckle at that. But there are people that they know they don't know God. And then there's people that they don't know that they don't know God. My dad was a pastor, and while he was in San Diego at his last church, there was a heavy contingency of sailors and Navy men and women that came through the church because it was a Navy base there. And there was a young man by the name of Max that showed up to my dad's church one Sunday because he had been out to sea for 6 months. And in that 6 months, someone had shared with him a Bible and was sharing it with him, the good news. And he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he knew when he got to land, he wanted to find a church. And it just happened that he chose my dad's church. My dad started getting to know Max, began to disciple Max. And he finally had this discussion with Max. He said, Max, what was it like for you? What did you feel like? What did it feel like to be lost? And what did you think about when you thought about God? And he said, I didn't know I was lost, and I just didn't think about God. Not everyone's thinking about God. Not everyone doesn't know that they're lost. And that's where he fell into that category. He was lost, and he didn't know it. And then there's a third category. This category is those that they think they're not lost, but they're lost. They don't know that they are, but they think that they're not. These are what maybe the most dangerous of the three categories. It's better to be in the place where I just don't know and I need God, or I didn't know and someone revealed it to me and I'm ready, or this is the toughest place, because these are the people that are the religious. They're all about religion, and this is the encounter that we're looking at today. The third group of people is who we're looking at today, from a very familiar story found in John chapter 3. And even if the story is not familiar to you, the verse that we end with is John 3:16. Most everyone knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We're going to get to that. But first, the story that leads up to that. This third group, this religious man that didn't know that he was lost. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. First of all, we have these Pharisees. Pharisees were the religious leaders. They were the pastors. They were the priests. They were the ones that knew the scripture. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the Torah. They knew the word. They knew it backwards and forwards. They were teachers of God's law. They were teachers of God's word. They knew it backwards and forwards. They were lost. They didn't know that they were lost. And we can be lost just as well. We can attend church all of our life. We can know the scripture backwards and forwards. We can be in every Bible study. We can give our tithe. We can serve in the church. We can do all these things, but they all leave us short of the glory of God. They all leave us short of a relationship with God. And so we start with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who is a member of this religious elite. And he came to Jesus at night, and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. He came at night because all of his buddies, they were part of the religious elite, the religious circle that was not embracing Jesus. In fact, everything Jesus did was threatening their way of life. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And so he knew that he would not be on the same page with them. He was fearful of what they thought, maybe even fearful of his position, what they might do. So he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that your teacher has come from God. He came in fear. He came in secrecy. And today, I'm just encouraged by this. No matter where you are in your journey, you may be coming here in secret. Maybe you are coming and you've come to church and you're checking God out, but you wouldn't dare tell a coworker or a classmate that you're here, but you're just kind of, you're wanting to find out what this is all about. First of all, I say it's a great place to be. We have a saying around here, we believe it's okay to belong before you believe. We want you to believe. We believe Jesus is worth believing in and putting your faith in, but if you're struggling with doubts, you're not there yet, we believe this is a great place to bring your doubts, to bring your questions, and a place to belong to. Because Nicodemus, Jesus didn't cast him out. He engaged in a conversation with him. And sometimes people come to God secretly before they go public with their faith. And if you're there, we're glad that you're here, and we just want you to keep on this journey that Nicodemus was on. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Jesus is letting Nicodemus, a very religious person, know that religion is not enough. Religion is about behavior modification. Jesus isn't after behavior modification. He's after transformation. He wants to transform us from the inside out. He wants to make us new. And he's saying, it's okay, I'm not against religion, but religion won't save you. A relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus is what's going to save you. And so Nicodemus begins to ask questions. He says, how can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. This is not Jesus telling Nicodemus or telling us, hey, I want to make you better. Just follow me and I want to make you better. I want to make what's old newer. I want to make what is old and what's old. I want to make it, it's not him wanting to make it newer. God is wanting to make us brand new. Jesus is wanting to make us a new creation in Christ, where the old is gone, the new has come. He's not inviting us into I want to make you better. He wants to make you transformed. He wants to make you different. He wants to make you a new creation. He wants to make you born again. And born again is something that we have hindsight. We're more familiar with this. Many of us are more familiar with this. But let's look at it from the lenses of Nicodemus, who, when he said born again, he's thinking what we should be thinking. What are you talking about? What do you mean to be born again? Well, what is it to be born? Let's just think back to when you and I were born. Do you remember when you were born? First service said no, E2. Of course not. It's a good thing that God created within us something that forgot the first 3 years of our life, or we would have counseling till the end, because birth is traumatic. It's disruptive. Birth is painful. I'm sure it's probably painful to the baby too, but it's definitely painful to the mother. I know this from my experience, and I know many of you have this experience. When Heather had our second child, our youngest Riley, a month later, she sent me away to a doctor to have a procedure so that couldn't happen again. I was a young man, and the doctor began to question me. And he was saying, hey, I do this. I've done many of this. And by the way, I'm bringing some interns in here. Is that okay? And I was like, whatever. So I go in, I'm having this conversation. This doctor says, you're awfully young. Most people this young don't have this kind of procedure. Are you sure you're wanting to do this? And I said, my wife is very sure. Because she had it childbirth the old-fashioned way. I know there's those today, they want to have the natural childbirth. My wife is against natural childbirth. She wanted the epidural or any drug that they could put in her body to help that process go more smoothly. But she had a condition. She had low blood platelets, so it was hard for her blood to clot. So both of her pregnancies resulted in an old-fashioned childbirth. And childbirth is painful. It's disruptive. I have a few ladies nodding their heads right now. Guys, you shouldn't be nodding your heads at all. You don't even know what you're talking about. But it's messy. It's disruptive. It's painful. But being born brings new life. That's why you have multiple children, because you forget about how painful the first one was and how painful the second is, because something beautiful happens when we're born again. And Jesus replies, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." And so Nicodemus has a natural question that we don't tend to ask because we have hindsight, but he doesn't have what we have. He doesn't have the benefit we come with. He says, how can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born again. I love how he stays curious. He stays humble, which is where we should be. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Because the encounter with Jesus Christ, the encounter of salvation, is a supernatural encounter. It's not something that we do on our own. It's something that God does within us. It's something that His Holy Spirit does within us. For me, and my experience was, when I was about 10 years old, I was on a Sunday night. I was minding my own business, ready to go to bed, ready to go to school the next day, when I felt a conviction in my heart. I knew something needed to be done. I didn't know what needed to be done, but I kind of did. And I went to my parents. I said, "I think I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior." And they prayed with me that night, and a transformation took place. Was I perfect? No. Did I do a lot of dumb things after that? Yes. Do I still do a lot of dumb things today? Yes. But was I transformed and changed from the inside? I was changed. I don't understand it. I couldn't explain it. But Christ is trying to explain what the Spirit and how the Spirit works. It's like a wind that blows wherever it pleases. And we know, we can feel the wind, we can sense the wind, but we don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going. That's the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, coming into our heart and into our life, forgiving us and making us a child of God, making us a new creation in Him. Nicodemus, he's still there. How can this be? And Jesus said, "You're Israel's teacher and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and what we testify of what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." You know, I'm thankful we could knock Nicodemus, but Nicodemus did what we all have to do in order to have a relationship with God. We have to be curious and we have to be humble. We have to be humble enough, even if we're coming to Him in secret, even if we're coming to Him in fear, there has to be a humility on our part and an open and a curiosity, because coming to Jesus, if when you haven't come to Christ yet, like my dad's friend Max in his church, the sailor, he didn't know he was lost. He didn't think about God. Coming to Christ was a little bit confusing. And coming to Christ can be a little bit confusing. We don't understand it all. We might not even understand fully the need for it all. But I love how Jesus tells the story of the one who's lost that doesn't know that he's lost or thinks that he's not lost. It's an example to us that it may be confusing for us when we first come to Christ and when we're thinking about faith in Him. It may be confusing. It may be disruptive. It may bring fear and anxiety. But on the other side of Jesus is this peace, this joy, this clarity, this purpose. I a lot of things were confusing before, and for you that came to a relationship with God and with Christ, it might have been confusing before, but when you came to Jesus, it's not that you knew everything, but now you had a sense of clarity and purpose. Now you knew you were a child of God, and now this that didn't even matter to you, didn't think about, now it's like, I'm interested in this. Now the church that maybe you didn't care about, you're interested in being there with the church. You're interested in worship. You're interested in growing in the faith, in the relationship with God. When we're born again, it brings clarity. Jesus said, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness and Nicodemus would have known what he's talking about, Son of Man must be lifted up that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. He references Moses and the children of Israel and the Jewish nation when there was a moment in time where there was snakes in the camp, poisonous snakes, and as a punishment to their rebellion and sin, they were being bit by these snakes and their people were dying. And so Jesus, always loving, wanting to provide a way out, he said, Moses, take a snake, take a golden snake and put it on a pole. It wasn't idol worship. It wasn't something to be worshiped, but God was saying, hey, have the people look at the snake on the pole, the golden snake on the pole, and when they look on it after they've been bitten, they will live. They will not die. So Jesus tells this because he cares more than our physical bodies. He cares about our spiritual souls being saved and living forever. And so when he says, as they looked at the snake that Moses put up, so I must be lifted up. Jesus must be lifted up. We must look to Jesus for our salvation. Jesus is the one that we look to find our salvation and a relationship with him. And then we get the best, most famous verse in all the world. These aren't even Jesus' words. These are John the Apostle's words, wrapping up what Jesus had said. These beautiful words, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the good news. And the good news is made available to every person. It's made available to the Nicodemus who thinks he's not lost but is lost. It's made available to the ones who don't know that they're lost, like Max. It's made available to the ones who know that they're lost and are far from him. Whoever believes, whoever trusts, whoever puts their faith in Christ shall not die but have eternal life. They may die a physical death, but we won't die a spiritual death. Our souls will live on forever if we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And so we've been given this good news. And it doesn't matter what camp you fall in today, whether you didn't know you're lost, or you're just finding out you're lost, or you're in the camp that you didn't really think that you were lost, but as you think about it, you've just been playing church. You've just been showing up and attending church, giving in the offering, volunteering, being a good person, doing things that are all on your strength and your ability, and God says, that's not enough. It'll never be enough because your righteousness is but filthy rags compared to a holy, righteous God. So the invitation is for all of us that whoever believes, puts their faith in Christ, that they'll be saved, that they'll be a child of God, that they'll be made new. And I'm so glad that we have the story of Nicodemus, who didn't know he was lost, but stayed inquisitive, stayed curious, stayed humble. Two more times he's spoken of in Scripture. Once when he's actually standing up for Jesus in front of the other religious leaders, there he's actually taking a small stand for them, not a big one, but he's starting to, you know, show that maybe he believes. But where we really see that he believes at the end of Jesus' life when Jesus had been crucified, this is before his resurrection. There was two religious leaders. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. I'm thankful that we have a God that doesn't reject us because we start slow. Because maybe what we do is just worshiping God in private. He wants us to go public, but he's patient with us, not willing that any should perish. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away, and he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Nicodemus, his relationship started in secret, but it went bold in love. It started in secret, but it went deeply sacrificial. I just looked this up this week. I had never, if you keep kind of looking at the scripture, God will bring new things to you. And I was looking, I see someone shaking their head. They already know. They know what I'm getting ready to tell you. But I didn't know this until this week, that this myrrh and aloes, this 75 pounds worth, you can correct me. I could be wrong on this. So you might have more accurate commentaries or things. But this was no small amount. This was not a small sacrifice. In today's U.S. dollars, it is said on the low end that it would be like $40,000, and on the high end, $190,000. Whatever the case, do you think Nicodemus had a change in his heart and his life that he was willing? The resurrection hadn't even happened yet. The resurrection, he didn't know that. He's just going on what he saw in Jesus Christ, a God-man who loved, and all he knew, he was dead, but he wanted to honor him with everything that he had, and he gave him a great sacrificial gift. Not because he was trying to earn anything from God, because he doesn't know Jesus is going to be resurrected. He's just laying a sacrificial gift on a man who loved with his life and gave himself up for you and for me and for Nicodemus. What a great good news testimony of God's love for us in our life. God's not asking us to bring $40,000, $190,000 of a sacrificial gift. He's paid the price that we cannot pay. He's paid the debt in full. But what he does is he wants our life. He wants us to put our faith and our trust in him. And you may be like Nicodemus today. It may be a little confusing. You may not even understand it all. It may not make a lot of sense. But that's what faith is. Faith is taking a step into the unknown. Faith is not what we can see. It's trusting in what we can't see and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And we put our step and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We don't have to know it all. It doesn't have to all make sense to us. It didn't make sense to me completely when I came to Christ. It didn't make sense for my dad when he came to Christ. It didn't make sense for my grandpa when he came to Christ. But Jesus made himself clear when we took that step of faith. And he made us a child of God, a son and daughters of God who have put their faith in him and trusted in him. Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, thank you for this good news this morning. Thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The simple good news that we're sinners, that we're lost, that we're broken without you. But you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to die a painful death on the cross for our sins. You defeated our enemy of sin and death. And 3 days later, you rose from the grave so that we may have life in you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. Today would be a great day to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It can be 10 years old like I was. It can be 19 like my dad was. It can be 72 like my grandpa was. But today would be a great day to put your trust in Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, no one's looking around, will you just raise your hand so I can pray for you before you leave? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. At least a dozen of you. Anybody else this morning just want to put your trust. You don't have to understand it all. It doesn't have to make sense to you. It may be confusing, but today you'll leave with clarity and purpose, knowing that you're a child of God with an eternal home with Him. If that's you, I'm just giving one more opportunity this morning, if that's you. Okay, thank you. Father, thank you for these that have made a step of faith. They, by raising their hand, they're acknowledging they want you as their Lord and their Savior. And Lord, you tell us that anyone who earnestly comes to you, that you will not turn away. You will gladly accept us. Doesn't matter what we've done. Doesn't matter how much sin or how much brokenness in our life there is. Lord, you accept us because we trust and believe in you. Thank you for that good news today. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer that I'm going to ask us all to repeat, so these dozen or so that they're not praying it alone, but we pray it together. Jesus, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins and defeating my enemy of sin and death. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a brand new person inside. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.